down, pulling 40s out the window. Bitches drive me crazy cause they stay all with that friend.
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah, what up?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So, I'm just getting all this out the way. Moke and Friends, this is Moke and Rex. You know, you are actually, you're the first like, interview phone caller, because the other ones were just kind of test runs. So, with that, I just want to say happy National Hipster Day.
That's dope. That's dope. I feel like I'm on like yeah. Like probably like an episode of like The Wire or something.
Oh. You can are.
Or like I'm calling you from like prison. Like we're talking through prison or some shit. There's a lady talked to me at the beginning. She was like, "This call is now being recorded." It's just surreal. It's crazy.
Yeah, Google is basically, Google is prison.
Yeah, no, because I'm like, if Moke is listening, and that bitch who just said that is listening, then the government is definitely listening.
Correct. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you know the government. Yeah. The government is a fan of the show. They like the show, so that's why they listen.
Hey, well, make sure Trump downloads my album today. That's what drops.
Oh, he did. He's calling it the Decatate.
There we go.
I just literally found out what that meant like 3 days ago.
What's that?
I just literally found out what DACA meant like 3 days ago.
I don't even know. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's some immigration shit, some Trump shit. But on to bigger issues.
Yeah.
On to bigger issues. Your album dropped today. Did you drop it yet?
No, it did not. It did not drop yet. I'm actually, it's weird because I was waiting for, I don't know. Like I said, last time we talked or like when we talk off of the record and shit, I'm trying to do something different with this one, and not like necessarily innovative and different than what a lot of other people do, just different than what I do.
Right.
A lot of my hustle has been like just off the cuff, or as some people would say, nigga rigged. Like it's like a ghetto hustle. I never really took the time to, you know, do some of the professional distribution shit you do with it or licensing or anything like that. So this time I took that route just to try to get, you know, everything professionally in line, and, you know, if it does blow up, or hopefully when it do, my money's right and everything like that. So I was really kind of ignorant to some of it, and I do a lot of research and whatnot. So today I'm dropping it as far as just to my fan base and everybody like who has been waiting to hear it. I'm still waiting. I went through like CD Baby, and I'm still waiting. They hit me today. They let me know it wouldn't take only about a couple of days to review it, and it's been like under review for like almost a week. So today they finally hit me saying, congratulations, you can distribute it through, like you can show your people through CD Baby and this. Like I literally woke up to an email. I really haven't dug into it. I'm gonna look into that and see exactly what platforms it's on already, because they're supposed to be like the third party, you know, so they distribute it through iTunes and Spotify and all that good shit. So hopefully that happens soon, but for sure it's releasing today. I just don't know what time.
They sent you an email saying that, that you've been accepted and that it's on all the platforms and shit.
They didn't say anything about the platforms yet. They said, because pretty much you can have like your own website through CD Baby. You can sell it through CD Baby, and then I guess they push it through all those other platforms. But each platform takes a couple. They go throughout. They have their own like little way of reviewing it and saying it's okay and putting it on their platform. So CD Baby's like the middleman. So yeah, it's all within different time periods. CD Baby, obviously, it's through them, so I'm figuring they're the first people to be like, yeah, you're good. We reviewed it. Your shit's good. So we're going to, like, let people purchase it and download it all through us. And then once, like, Spotify approves it and, you know, Apple Music or Google Play or whatever approves it, then it starts, like becoming available on those platforms. I thought that process was going to be a little quicker. I just got that email today from CD Baby, so I was just like, no, I gotta get up, I gotta eat some food, do some push-ups, and get ready to talk to Moke. I ain't really got time for you, CD Baby. So, yeah. That's on the back burner, but I really didn't plan on releasing tape until, like, I don't know, I read some marketing tactic, and, you know, once niggas get home from work, so like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I'm just gonna just drop, like I said, I'm just gonna drop it to my social media. All those platforms that I, you know people follow me on, and just give at least that group of people the shits right now.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, so I want to ask you something. I want to ask you a couple things because I don't want to say I dug like super duper deep into my journalism, but I made an effort. Okay. And the first thing I want to know is, and I kind of have an idea, but for the people, the fans, everybody, what's the name? How'd you come up with the name?
The name of the album?
Yeah.
Well,
and clarify it for me, because, you know, I call it everything, but what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you was calling it everything, which is funny. It's funny, bro, because, like, I don't know. It's just funny. Real quick backstory. I don't know what it is, maybe how I pick my shit or what my mama calls me or what, but people have been fucking shit up for a minute now. And my little thing when I perform is I'm trying to figure out a quick way, an efficient way to get people to know how to spell my name, because my name is not spelled traditionally. It's not B-R-A-N-D-O-N. It's B-R-A-N-D-E-N. So I'm always like branding.
Hey, your phone is kind of muffled right now.
Okay, hold on.
All right, that's better. I can tell you. I can tell you were trying to lay cute, and the phone was like on your cheek.
It's on my cheek. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you good.
Okay, real quick, what happens if we like lose the call or something? Does that fuck shit up?
No, I mean, like, if the call drops because I'm recording it through my phone, through, you know, you heard the lady, and I'm also recording it through my podcast. So if the call drops through my podcast, I might just keep it recording, and I'll just call you right back.
Got you. Okay. So what I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain, like, tell people my name, and I'll be, like, Brandon with an E, and then all of a sudden, like, they start spelling it B-R-E-N-D-O-N, like Brendan. So it's just been really complicated to get people to, like, spell my name right. So I'm trying to figure out, like, I try to do, like, funny shit on stage to get people, like, interact and just know what the fuck I'm talking about. I've been going to Scratch House. They got that open mic down there on 7th and Red River every Tuesday. And I was shanking that. Every time I write my name on there, they've called me Brandon Rev. Cause I guess the next guy. Written incorrectly or sloppily, and then no bullshit. Last week, I wrote Brandon Rex, and the host was like, y'all give it up for our next act, Marcus Rex.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And I went on there, I was like, hey, my name's Brandon, y'all. And he's like, oh, my fault. I'm so sorry, dude. I'm like, it's all good. I rocked my track. And then I got up, he's like, y'all give it up one more time for Marcus Rex. I'm like, nigga. Like, it has to be. Like, people are clowning for whatever reason. But, no, that's just a funny little backstory. The black and white, it's black and white hipster. So the B, the ampersand, W, hipster. And really, that name, it's funny because I was going to do, what was it going to be called? Flannel, jorts, and sex. I was wearing this flannel one day and these jorts, and I was talking about fucking to some little bitch I was, just a little girl I work with, like nothing serious. And she's like, that's so funny. You should name your album Flannel Jordan Sex. And I was like, that actually is funny as hell. I might do that. And I kind of think it makes it too jokey. And I want, this album is not really, like, to me, it's not really like a comical album. It's more of a dark, concept album for the most part. So what, when I was thinking about a title, I just thought about like what this is representing. And for the first time with me doing music, I'm doing something solo. Like, I've been in a band, I've been in a group, you know, I just did shit with just my brother. I did a mixtape with every single track. I got a feature from somebody in the city, just try to like throw Austin around a little bit. So this is, I realized the first time, honestly, since I started doing music, that I'm doing something just by myself. Like, you heard the tape, I got Jake Lloyd on one track, and I got my brother on another track. But besides that, there's no features. It's just all me. So it's the clearest, most up-to-date representation of just myself. And with that, I wanted to kind of direct the title towards myself a little bit. But it's funny, because like I said, people are like fuck my shit up all the time, or they spell my name wrong, and then they just start calling it what they want, be what they want. And I was like, let me go with that route, you know, like, kind of like clowning yourself. It's like, if you're gonna put a stereotype on me, if you're gonna assume I'm something, then I know what the fuck I am, but I'm gonna embrace that to a degree, like embrace the stereotype. I'm black and I'm white, you know what I'm saying? So that's clear cut.
Right.
The hipster thing is because that's what people identify me as. They're like, black. I've been wearing the skinny jeans since before, you know, the new wave of this kid doing the skinny jeans and the chokers. And I don't know where all that shit's coming from as of lately with the purse and shit. But, like, the skinny jeans and, like, the little hipster look, bro, like, that's just how I've always dressed. Like, it's just comfortable. I like my T-shirts to fit me. I like my, you know, my pants to fit me and shit. And it's just my little style. I always wear Vans and shit. So when I moved to Austin, I actually never heard of the word hipster. I didn't know what the fuck it was. Back home, we used to call them like little indie kids. Like, they ride around their bikes and shit. So when I heard the word hipster, I was like, oh, everybody's just clowning on these little, like, eccentric, like, indie kids. So that's a hipster. Okay. So they spent the time on the east side, and I'm drinking PBRs. We're all from Milwaukee. I drink PBRs. Everybody's like, you drink PBR, you're a hipster. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not really a hipster. I'm from Milwaukee. I've been drinking this shit since I was 16, but okay. Yeah. Call me a hipster. I'll be a hipster. And it's just kind of like, I just let that shit ride. But then when I think of the title, I'm like, okay, black, I'm mixed, I'm black and white hipster. Sure. Fuck it. Let's go with that. That'll define me on this one. So that's really that's where it came from.
You know, so like getting back to what you said, like you like clowning yourself, and that's kind of cool, I guess, because you clowning yourself. But like you say, your album is kind of a dark album, which to me, like, this album sounds like pretty realistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I have to listen to a lot of people in the city, a lot of people make good music, but you can tell when motherfuckers ain't making realistic music. Like, this seems like a pretty realistic album. I mean, there's times where I'm thinking, like, yo, is this nigga, like, on some downer drugs on this shit? But, I mean, I like it. But what direction were you trying to take it to? Because when you think of hipster, you think of, like, it's a fucking dark album, you know what I mean? So, to me, It shows, like, people can, how you can have fun with the people, but, like, you're pretty honest in this album. Like, you open up a lot.
Yeah. And that's like I said before, I really wanted to when I came up with the album title, obviously I came up with the album title after the whole shit was already done, said and done. So, it wasn't like, I was like, oh, I want to, black and white hipster, I gotta emulate this. I gotta present this. But with the title itself, it just represented me. And like I said, I did, when we first started doing music, I was like in a pop punk hip hop slash, you know, band, like Gym Class meets like The Roots. I was young and we were trying to do commercial shit. And, I'm not gonna lie to you, ever since I started doing music, I love music, but I've always wanted to do music on a professional level. I've always wanted to make money off of music. That's why I started Calm Child. I've always wanted to make money. For me, this whole thing is being financially secure. I've never really been someone that's like, it's just for the art. Like, I love the art, but I want to do something that makes money that I love doing. That's always been my objective in my life. Like, make money doing something you love. I'm not on this whole, like, fuck the money, I just do it for the love. Like, to me, that's scatterbrained. I personally can't do that. I don't have time to do that or I'll be unhappy. Like, I got a lot of bills, got a lot of stress and other aspects of my life. Like, I need to make money or I can't put the effort and time into something that I would love to do without it being profitable. So, We went in that direction my whole career, but this was like I said, the first time that I didn't have to sit down with a drummer and a guitarist and be like, okay, what are y'all feeling? Or sit down with my brother and, you know, Ben back in the day and be like, what kind of chorus y'all want to do? What do you want this song to be about? It was the first time I could like just sit down and be like, be myself. And if you heard a lot of the music before, it was more consciously driven. I really, at that time in my life, thought that I had a lot to say as far as conscious shit and as far as like delivering a positive message. And not saying this one, like you heard, it's not saying this one doesn't, but I mean, I got that song Ignorant Shit and whatnot, and I just realized that I'm not the most conscious person in the fucking world. So, in the same way I think a bunch of ignorant-ass mumble rap is silly, I think motherfuckers who are trying to be overly conscious and use big words and a bunch of syllable bounces to like act like they're smart is almost equally as silly. Yeah. That's not me. You know, that's not me. I'm not the most conscious person. I'm also not the most ignorant person. So why don't I get off of what I did before, which was only try to show that I got this conscious side of me, only try to, you know, replicate this certain type of person and show people, hey, I'm articulate. Hey, I write poetry. Hey, I can do this. I can do that. And really just show people who the fuck Brandon is. And like I said, I smoke, I drink, I do drugs every now and then. I fuck bitches. I've had one night stands where I clown on a girl, leave her somewhere because like, you know, she fucked around and act like she was about something and she ain't, and now I'm not about to pay for her fare, her back home or something. Like, I got some grimy stories as well, just like anybody else. I got skeletons in my closet. So why don't I just, for the first time, now that this is just me rapping and I'm not basing it upon my bandmates or, you know, this featured artist, I can just say really what I want to say, and I can show people really who I am. And there is a darker side to me than this bubblegum pop shit that I've been trying to do. So let's do that, you know. And that's where the album kind of, that's how it formulated. That's where it began. Obviously, you know, there's a process to it. So I started looking at different beats and different working with different producers. I really only have 3 different producers on this tape. The majority of it is Charlie Brown. What's that?
I was going to ask you about that, about the producers. But before we get into that, so are you saying, you know, because what I'm getting from this is you pretty much, like, kind of found, like, the true you on this album, like, being, like, with yourself?
Yeah, or at least starting. I'm starting to. I still honestly don't believe I found my voice completely, but this is the step in that direction, I believe, because I'm already, like, you know how it is when you get creative, bro. Like, especially how long this album has taken and how long it's been recorded. I haven't stopped recording music. I haven't stopped writing. Like, I already got a track that's done that I'm looking forward to pushing after this already to catch some waves or whatever, and it's pushing me in a direction with this next tape I'm working on. There's no thought of it yet or anything like that, but just the next song that I already created that's not on this album already grows from this album, and it's going in that direction. Like, I'm finding a voice that I'm happy with. And I think, yeah, taking the time to actually just let go and completely be myself, it showed me kind of where I want to go with my music.
So, you say you got three producers, Charlie Brown's one of them?
I got this, I forget who they are, but I don't forget who they are, but I forget where they're from. I stumbled across them, just digging online for different beats, but the Pinky Promise, that track is done by 4 Classics. And then they're the only ones that I really don't know personally. And then they have the 50 Cent Wings and the Top Shelf Wells, and the Ignorant Shit is done by Brimlow. And then the rest of the tape is done by Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. So, now, do you want to get into your PR shit? Because I was actually looking at it, and I seen, a write-up on you on thisis50.com, which is pretty dope. So, do you want to get into that?
Yeah, This Is 50, it's dope, bro, but it's bullshit, you know? Like, a lot of niggas could just... You got money, bro. You could be on Complex. But what does it do for you, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I found working with these PRs, and that's what I found out about This Is 50. Yeah, we can get into it. I'm going to make this as short as fucking possible. The first person I tried to work with, some dude out of New York, and I went through a reliable source within the city who I'm not going to mention because I don't need that dirt on his name, but he's good people. He puts on for the city hard. So, I don't blame him at all. He actually stopped working with the guy as well. So I reached back out to him. I was like, hey, bro, he didn't come through. And he's like, oh, fuck that. I'll go look into it. And then he ghosted on him as well. So it was just an unfortunate situation, but I didn't do my homework, and I kind of got played for some money. Not kind of. I got played for, $500. Like, nothing came of it. I just paid somebody and didn't get, dick. So that was that was the first time I ever tried to, pay a PR and, have somebody, a publicist represent me and distribute my shit. So it was, live and learn type of shit. I sucked it up, and I moved on. And from there, I actually did some research, and what I ended up doing was looking up an artist that I kind of liked and who wasn't really mainstream yet, and then find out who was representing him on some projects. And I actually looked up Joyner Lucas and found a team that he has worked with in the past, and I reached out to them. End up having this long-ass conversation with dude when he's out in Miami, and he did the same thing, kind of sold me on their product, but this was a little different. I actually went online, looked them up, looked at some of their, things that they had posted and whatnot, and they were legitimate. They put people on. And he told me, you got a budget, we can do this much with you, we can do, if you have a budget of this. They work with anybody, their minimum was $500, and their maximum was $100,000 budget. So that should have been my red flag, because just coming off that other one, I wasn't trying to throw nobody no more money than I had to until I saw that the shit worked. Yeah. I just went to 500 just to be safe. I'm like, let me see what you do with 500. So now I'm out a grand, and I ain't no trap boy. I don't got a really good job. So money is hard to come by me. Everything I do is kind of independently driven. So I don't got no investors and nothing like that. So I can't just throw a bunch of money like I'd like to towards shit. So I gave him the 500, and I wanted to push that T-Rex, which was supposed to be a trailer to the album, a visual trailer. So I did that with them, and
that visual was pretty fucking dope. That's the one thing that I don't want to say it upsets me, but I guess it upsets me because like this album had some the quality of the Citizen Wings and the T-Rex is the one with you rapping to the dude in the drum, right?
Yeah, when I walked the East Side neighborhood.
Yeah, like like, that shit is, like, so, like, all that shit was dope, you know what I mean? And I just hate the fact that, you know, like, I hate seeing, like, talented people and everything come out with, like, a good album, good visuals, but have, like, a hard rollout, because, like you said, everything's independently driven, and independently driven sometimes means, like, just you and maybe, like, another nigga. You know what I'm saying? And so, I know that after seeing that trailer, man, like, I was like, yo, this album's gonna be big. And to me, it is big. You know what I'm saying? Like, I fuck with it. Like, I like it. I was listening to it today. But, I mean, did that, like, hurt or kill your momentum, like, coming into it?
Honestly, yeah, bro. It all fucking sucks. And it's a constant reminder that no matter what, nothing's guaranteed to you. You can put out the best shit ever. You can bust your ass and, you know, really take the right steps, and producing good quality content. Cause that was my biggest thing this time around. I've done a lot of albums where I just put them out, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to save up to make a music video now, and it takes 4 months, and it doesn't happen, and all of a sudden the shit's been on the back burner, it's been on the shelf forever, so people start forgetting about it. So what I really wanted to do with this tape was create a product, 10 tracks, a trailer visual, and then like 4 or 5 music videos, and have it all packaged ready to go, and then like I wanted to get the PR, release the trailer, and then, you know, release a single with the music video, which was 50 Cent Wings, and then like create a buzz. And then, like, promote the album, and then drop the album, and then, like, drop another visual, and then another visual. Like, every single month, I'm doing something fresh for, like, the next, like, 7 months. That was the ideal plan. But then, yeah, when you start throwing your hard-earned money towards people that you're relying on, I mean, like I said, back to the story, I paid them, I wrote up a contract with them, I signed the contract, they told me in the contract they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that, and they were going to get they had a couple options for who I wanted to get the shit premiered with. I picked This Is 50 just because it made the most sense with the budget. And they still had more money left over then for, like, geo-targeting. So they're going to put it up. Like, he took over my fan page, and he was going to, like release it on there and start watching the numbers. And if you go look at that on my if you go look at the T-Rex on my fan page, it has the most views than all my other videos, but it also has the most spam in the comments, a bunch of, like, foreign shit, like, translate this. Yeah. It's like, it's not real. How the fuck am I supposed to interact with somebody I can't speak language? That's not real. Those are just, like, a bunch of spam people, whereas, what I realized with him is, and I kept emailing him, he would just, He told me to write a little bit about myself, and I did, even though he told me he was going to write up a captivating release. And I didn't know that what I wrote about myself was going to be the captivating release, or I would have wrote something different. And all he did was copy that and paste it onto the blogs he had access to, which took no work. You know what I'm saying? So now all of a sudden he promised me, like, blogs. He sends me an email. He's like, here, you're on 15 right now. I'm like, oh, that you're going to stagger them. Like, what am I supposed to do, share these blogs with my fans? Like, I got on 15 blogs in 15 minutes. Like, that shit looks fake. I let those blogs catch their own traction. I'm not going to let my fan base know about these blogs, because who wants to see the 15 blogs the same write-up and same video? You see one on This Is 50, that's good enough for the people who fuck with me. And I was like, okay, yeah. So maybe when the next round of blogs, I'll share it with people. Like, oh, here, look, I got another blog. The next blog he puts out, I was like, and hey, how about this, bro? How about this? If you're going to just copy and paste that, because I thought you were going to write up something better for me, how about you? Nigga, you got 15 more blogs. I'll write 15 more write-ups about T-Rex. Let me write it.
Yeah.
And he would ignore me. He ignored my email so much, I had to go find, I found him on Facebook. And send him a Facebook message and, like, what up, bro? Like, come on, man. And he's like, I'm sorry, just it's busy, bro. We work with a lot of clients. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. I don't care. I paid you. As long as you communicate, we say, hey, it's going to take a week. It better take a fucking week. He was saying shit like that. Give me 3 days. 5 days later, I ain't heard from him. I'm like, all I care about is you being on your shit when you say you're going to be on it. Because I just got hoed by some other dudes, so I don't trust nobody type of shit. Yeah. So just stay in communication, and I'm fine with you. Yeah, all right, my fault, I will. All right, and by the way, I don't really like that you copy and paste that on 15 different blogs. If that's what's going to be, let me write up 15 more write-ups and use those on all the other blogs you use. He didn't say shit. All of a sudden, a week later, you got put on more blogs, bro. And I go, look, it's the same write-up. And he spelled my name wrong. He didn't spell my name wrong on the first one. So he literally had to copy and paste it and then go back and change that E to an O. Like, I don't get it. I was so pissed, bro. I was so fucking pissed. I hit him back. I was like, dude, you copy and pasted it, and then you adjusted one thing to fuck my name up. Like, I don't even get how you do that when you copy and paste it. And I asked you if you were going to do that, could I just write up some shit? So I don't get what you're doing. He's like, oh, I didn't notice that. It'll be different on the new run. And I'm like, no, I don't. You know what? Fuck it. I just deleted them off Facebook. Huh?
I said, yeah, fuck it.
Fuck you. And I get, because I was watching what they were doing. He was making moves. They were doing a lot. They were doing a lot for people who had bigger budgets. I'm on the back burner because I'm $500. And I understand that I'm not a priority because you're working with somebody who's gave you $5,000. But, you know, the way I look at business, the way I look at relationships is you still gotta give somebody what they pay for. You had a contract with me. I can take your small court and be like, you ain't do this, but I'm gonna pay more than that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. Again, I'll swallow that $500. But it was just another lesson learned. And I'm like I said, I follow him on Facebook and I see he's like, oh, I'm out in Vegas making moves. I'm playing this poker tournament tonight. I'm like, so you're out there. You're using money people are giving you. You're hustling. If you could post on Facebook, you can email me back and be like, hey, bro, sorry, shit's delayed. It's going to take another 2 days. But he was just, like, ghosting me sometimes. I'm like, it's just not professional. It's whatever. Fuck you and your company. So, yeah, it really set all my shit back, bro. It killed my momentum. It kind of killed my morale because I thought that was one thing that I hadn't done in my career that I was missing, which was outside of investing in my – like creative process, i.e. recording and or like getting good quality recording, spending the money in the studio, spending the money on these good visuals, like actually paying for a crew. Like, I mean, I spent money. Like, these videos, you see them. This is not cheap.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you gotta be able to spend money investing in yourself, like to make money, to actually distribute this shit, to get it out, to get these, you know, these people, your fan, your biggest fan could be in bumfuck. You know, you got to spend money. You got to spend money to get that shit out there. And these publicists are supposed to be the people who know how to do that for you. And, I mean, maybe I just stumbled across two that just you killed it for me. But it really pissed me off. So that's why I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to release my own shit, see what happens. I've been sitting on this shit too long. I already wrote that other song I just was telling you about. Like, I'm ready to move on. Like, I'm feeling creative and I'm feeling good about my music and my voice, so let's just keep this shit going. It's taking this long. Let me just give my people this tape. Let me just give my people these videos. Let me just do that because, you know, I had a little GoFundMe thing and people paid for that. Like, I ain't charging people for this. People are waiting, and I'm going to lose their interest the longer I wait. So I just threw out that 50 cent wings, bro. I threw out the 50 cent wings, and I threw, no bullshit, bro, $30. $30. Then I did another, what was it, 50? So total, $80 I spent on, like, just the Facebook ads with that through, and I did my demographics, whatever, brought in way more traffic, way more interaction. I got about 120 new likes on my page without me even asking people to like it, just, like, people liking the page. I saw this one dude posting like, hey, what's that one video going around the city with a guy skating? I'm trying to find it. I'm friends with him. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I don't know him like that. But people are like, oh my God, let me know if you find it. And then he finally found it and he tagged my page in it. And that's how I like backtracked and saw that he had been looking for it and shit like that. Like, it was actually caught, like, creating some traction in the city, like, organically, that organic growth that I was really looking for. And then, Overload, for the first time ever, a blog, like, posted me, without me submitting. Like, I was getting blogs that were actually looking for my, like, finding my shit and talking about it in the city. I got put on that, Austin Music Video Festival. We just submitted it to that to see what would happen, and we got accepted on that. So that's happening, this month. There's that music festival, music video festival that it got accepted to. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't, until I have a budget where I can be taken seriously out there, like in that bigger realm of things. And I read an article. It's like, you need to do the PR yourself. One, so you can see perks, and you can see, you know, so when people do start doing it for you, you got kind of a relative idea, so you're not, like, sweating them and being like, what the fuck's going on? Why am I not getting these results immediately? Because you know how long it takes. But then also, so you can create that little platform for yourself, and, you know, you got to start somewhere. So, yeah, that's why I just squashed the PRs. I'm like, fuck the PRs. I'm just going to do it myself until I can't do it myself. So I need, you know, a team working for me, because I'm focused on other shit. Just like a manager. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to pay a manager. I don't need a manager right now. But when I do, I'm going to have to get one. So that's kind of how it went, bro, with the PRs. And yeah, that's that.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's kind of a, you know, it sucks because you kind of think, like, for that 1K, if you would put at least, like, $300 into how you did Facebook, it could be going crazy. But now, do you think, as we get in the age of technology and shit, do you find it harder to, like, you know, because, like, I always tell people is don't just rely on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always try to tell people, like, you need to have your shit on Tidal, Spotify, wherever that it can be, SoundCloud, everything. You know what I'm saying? But, like, do you find it harder to promote nowadays? Because, I mean, I know that the internet is the easiest way to promote, but I feel like some of the platforms aren't being taken as serious anymore because it's just being oversaturated.
Yeah, I agree with the oversaturation. I think it's like a bittersweet situation you got going on, because it is readily available to anybody. You don't have to sell your tape out of the trunk of your car no more, and finally catch a buzz locally and then have Dre come check you out and pick you up, and all of a sudden now you're Eminem, and you got a $1 million signing bonus. And you can work with that money to create, you know, these tapes. Like, you can be an independent artist. You can create these cult-like followings through SoundCloud. You can be, you know, extensions. You can be, you know, Lil Uzi Vert and grow literally just through the internet. One, I think it is harder though, because of the saturation, because now everybody is doing it. But the only reason I think that it's harder is because if you fall off for a second, they forget about you because they got the next thing going. Like, you see, it's consistency, and that's what I really took in consideration when I started was thinking about releasing this tape. And I was like, I don't have the funds to just keep going. I need to create enough to look like when I release it that I'm going to keep going. You know, that's why I wanted to have 7 months set up. So I didn't fall off. So I was consistent. I was in everybody's face constantly with new material, because I think that's what you need to do. You need to stay relevant. Once you're irrelevant, you are irrelevant nowadays. Like, they're getting drinks for free. Why? You know, that's your competition. You gotta realize that it's not these local cats who are your competition. Your competition is Jay-Z. Your competition is J. Cole. Your competition is Kendrick. Competition is Drake. That's honestly your competition. And if you're not looking at it that way, then you're going to stay local. Also, I think it's a little bit more challenging for me because of my age. Now, you know, you start getting a little old, you start feeling like you see these little niggas being like, oh, you 25, you old. And it's like, wow. Well, shit, I'm old then. But Yeah. The genre itself just turned 44. The genre is young. So
right.
I think that eventually old heads, whatever you want to call them, I don't think that, like rock and roll, Mick Jagger and shit, I think that you can be older in this genre. I don't think it's necessarily what people are feeling it is right now, that it's only a young person's genre, but I do feel like the older you get, if you aren't keeping up with the youth and the trends, that's when you start looking like you're too old to do this. And right. Somebody like Lil Uzi Vert, or say somebody, let's say even Chance, when Chance blew up with like 10 days, well, I mean, I guess he didn't blow up with that, more acid rap, but that's when he started getting on and shit. He was in, yeah. you're in school, you have these platforms, you have, you know, you have a whole high school and then maybe your surrounding high schools that can start fucking with you, and now you have all these kids who are really trying to get into this music and really trying to, you know, are being influenced by this, who are following you now. So that's how they extension this. That's how they create these cult followings. Like me, it's going to be harder for me to create a cult following because I got, you know, just degenerates who go out to the bar and get fucked up every night and they don't remember shit because they're drunk and I'm totally still creating shit. So I think, like I said, it's a bittersweet thing. It's readily available to you. Anybody can do it. So with that, it's easier. But because anybody can do it, and the platform's a little different for the age brackets, it makes it a little harder for everybody. I mean, I don't know if you saw that. Catch Me Outside, bitch, just put out a video and
yeah,
blowing up. But people like Stupid, bro. They like Stupid. You got the Catch Me Outside girl. She has like 11 million followers because she's a bad person. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You ever see that dude, Bunk?
Yeah, Bunk Gang? He's still sick.
Dude has like 3 million followers because he steals. Because he steals shit. He goes and gets a tattoo and just runs away. He stole a French bulldog. He steals shit and records himself doing it, the most incriminating thing ever. And now, I'm sure now most of it is changed, but he's famous for stealing shit. That's like the generation, bro. That's the come up. That's what they want to see. That's why World Star blew up a fight and shit. It's like,
so, I mean, so I guess for somebody,
what do you want to do? And now kids just want to do anything like that just to blow up. So that's where their attention's at. So it's just hard, bro. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to appeal to your demographic, and that, unfortunately, that's my consumers, those kids. And it's like, are you gonna start doing dumb shit like that so you can gain their attention, or are you gonna figure out how to be Chance the Rapper and do something different,
right,
and positive and uplifting? I'm not even saying you gotta be positive, because I don't feel like I'm most positive, but I'm definitely not stealing shit and just being super fucking ignorant to get attention from people. But you gotta figure out a way to get people's attention and hold on to it. And I think that's the hard part about it all.
Yeah. So, back to the album. What is your, I guess, what is your most favorite song, and what is your most, like, personal song?
As of lately, bro, 50 Cent Wings is becoming my most favorite in a sense of, like, cause I've been performing it a lot and the attention it's getting, like, the more attention it gets, cause I'm self-conscious about my work, initially, until I release it and see the response it gets. And I'm like, yeah, you like that too? Yeah, I like that too. You know, obviously I like it, but I don't know the response, and, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to feel about it once people start feeling a certain way. They kind of, sometimes they sway my feelings. I'm like, oh, you like that? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I love that too. That is dope. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Well, the 50 Cent Wings got a great response. People love the visual. People love the track. I just hear people like, like, it's catchy. It's poppy. I get it. So it gets stuck in my head. And when I perform it, I just love it. It just brings a nice energy. So, but I hated that song at first. I hated it. And I feel like that's what a lot of artists say about their, like, their most positive song. I know that, you know, Gambino hated 3005. The Weeknd wrote I Can't Feel My Face in like 5 minutes because they wanted him to put out a commercial track before they dropped his album. And then it, you know, ended up being his best-selling track. So I get that. So that I kind of feel that way about that track, but it is growing on me. But as far as like my favorite song personally, on the tape is probably, Dark Rooms.
Yeah, that's mine. I was going to say, that was crazy. I like that one. I like the hook. I like everything. It's like a new age song where almost like with the hook, it's almost like a old school feel, you know what I mean? Between like rap and some type of like, I don't want to say rock, but just like the tone of how you're singing the hook and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny because I was actually, when I wrote that song, I was actually watching Boys in the Hood. And do you remember that part when he was like, Doughboy, after he's got his ball, he got his ball, Ricky got his ball stolen, and Doughboy tried to get it back, and that dude punched him, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was pissed off, and he's like, hey, little man, catch, throws him the ball back. And they're walking. He's like, I told you not to bring that ball, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'm about to go to the store. He's like, you ain't got no money. He's like, I don't care, I'm going anyway. And then he goes fishing with his pops, and they come back, and they're getting arrested. And he's like, what happened? He's like, they were stealing. And that part, like, I watched that part. I love that part of that movie. And that's in the song where it's like, broke, but I went to the store anyway because I was stealing. And it's like, boys in the hood always acting hard. So that's where I was actually watching that movie when I wrote that track. And that's where that idea and all that shit came from. But, yeah, so, and then the whole boys in the hood always acting hard. They're always acting like these, like, you know, fronting and shit. So the song itself has a lot of meaning to me, and it's very relatable in my eyes to some of the shit I was feeling and going through and dealing with and living. So, no, that song probably means the most to me, which makes it my favorite. I love the tone. I love, like, that instrumental breakdown in it. It's just, you know, all about it. So, yeah, I really like that one. What would you say? Do you have two questions? What's your favorite and what's your something else? I forget what you said.
Which one means the most?
I guess those go hand in hand with favorite and means the most. Dark Rooms for sure means the most. I would say another favorite of mine would be, the Pinky Promise. The Pinky Promise or the Top Shelf Wells.
What would define the album? Like, if somebody was like, yo, convince me to buy your album, but show me one song. Like, what one song would define that whole album?
I don't know, bro. I guess what I've done is when people are like, hey, can I check it out? Because I know, like, going about this, like, throughout the process of it, I've showed a lot of people pieces. I've showed, like, you. I've showed some people the full thing. But when I show people pieces, what I usually do is I'll just give them two songs.
Right.
That I can show them two different variations of it. And with that, I give them Dark Rooms and 50 Cent Wings. Because I feel like Dark Rooms really shows the song, the album. It really, I think, it can encompass what the overall tone of the album is. But then you do have Weed in the Bathroom, and you do have 50 Cent Wings, and you do have Top Shelf Wells, which are more like poppy, bouncy, auto-tuney, whatever you want to, electronic, like, they bring those elements. So I think 50 Cent Wings shows the possibility of how versatile the album can be when they hear that. They're like, oh, so you got Dark Rooms, but you can also do something like 50 Cent Wings. So I liked 50 Cent Wings. I'm going to listen to the album because I really didn't like how dark Dark Rooms was. Or they hear 50 Cent Wings, I'm like, oh, that's it? they hear Dark Rooms, like, oh, okay, so I can get fucked up and, you know, zone out to this album, because if there's more songs like that, then I'll really mess with it.
Yeah.
So I like to show those two songs. I think it shows both ends of the spectrum.
So I feel like Dark Rooms, 50 Cent Wings, and Weed in the Bathroom, like, those are all just, like, three different tracks, and I feel like those tracks bring out, like, they show that they don't label you as a, as the traditional hipster, as what people would think. You know, cause when I think of hipsters, I think of like fucking E6 motherfuckers who like dress in thrift clothes and listen to either underground hip hop or just weird music with no words.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but when I think of you as a hipster, I think of the way you dress and just smoking weed, you know, but just kind of like how you will, like you debate about something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see the type of hipster as your typical Austin hipster, I guess, have you, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I think it's dope that those three songs are, like, I feel like 50 Cent Wings is probably about as commercial as your album would get, but I feel like, Dark Rooms is like just like a nigga hipster song, and then I feel like Weed in the Bathroom is like a hipster song.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the best way you can define it. And that's why I like the title, because it, I won't say it's deceiving, but when you say like hipster, there is a negative connotation with it, and a lot of niggas don't like hipsters. Like, it's an insulting word. Some, and the hipsters who embrace it are like kind of fraudulent, and they're like, they're trying to be hipsters, but they're not. But the actual hipsters, they're not even trying to be hipsters. The hipster word is more of an insult than like, it's not like you're a cool person type of thing. That's how I always viewed it. So I was more insulting. So, like I said, when I came up with the title, it was more what people were calling me and me just embracing it. Before people were like, you fucking hipster. I'm like, okay, nigga, I already said that. So what else? You know, like, the title of the album was more of a representation of me than the representation of the album. Whereas that's what I tried to do with the whole album, is just represent me, not really represent any sort of genre or any sort of style of rap or any sort of anything. Like, unfortunately, I can't sing that well, and I can't play an instrument, and I can't, you know, fucking produce. Like, I can't be a DJ. So what I do is what I can do. And I'm good at, you know, I'm good at poetry. I'm good at writing lyrics. I'm good at putting words together like that. I'm getting better with my cadence, my flow and everything. So rap was sort of like my expression. That's just what I fell onto. It's not like I'm like, oh, I want to be a rapper. If honestly, if I didn't sing, like, I love, that's why I have Jake Lloyd. Because Jake Lloyd was rapping. And then he started doing more of the singing shit, and he started doing like the Big Money Gators thing. And I was like, bro, that's what you need to be doing. Like, that's dope. And then now with this new shit he's doing, like, it's just fucking dope. And like, that's where I would go. Like, if I could sing, that's what I would be doing. I love that type of music. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, that is not my calling. But,
you could be an old nigga singing too. Like, I feel like there's no age limit on singing.
Exactly. You could be, and that's, I was sorry, even talking to Dustin, like, my director, he just turned 30, so he's kind of like, bro, I'm getting old, and I haven't put out a feature film yet. I'm like, bro, you could be like 90 and be a director. Like, there's no marketability on how you look as a director. Like, y'all are ageless. Jake, you can sing until you fucking die, bro. I feel like there's that that rushness to being a rapper, and you gotta catch it young, this wave young. So no, man, back to what I was saying. I just it's just what I can do. It's what I'm good at. It's what I love doing, making the hip hop music and shit. But I don't try to follow. I try not to follow any trends, especially like doing this music. Like, when I was recording this album, I try not to listen to a lot of music. A lot of hip hop. People were asking me like, "So what have you been listening to lately?" And blah blah blah. I'm like, honestly, bro, for like the past year and a half, I haven't listened to much. new shit. I didn't really want to get influenced by anything. I kind of just wanted to, like, while I was working on this tape and while I was thinking about different kind of videos to do and different styles and creativeness, I really, like, worked with people who weren't hip-hop artists or who weren't really indulged in that scene. So I wanted to just feel something that I felt naturally without that outside influence. So I said, yeah, I rap, but I feel there's more to it than that. And it's just me being a creative, and whatever comes of that, is what this tape is supposed to represent.
Let's see. And, I guess as we wrap up, what is the fate of Park and Murray? Daytime just fuck it.
Yeah, Park and Murray is, it's old folklore. Honestly, bro, Park and Murray is always going to hold a piece of me just because, like, that's where I came from. It represents, like, being back home and taking home with me and never forgetting, like, my roots. But that really ain't much anything anymore, outside of, like I said, just a memory. We were the group, we were the band, and then we were the group of me and Damien, and then me and Damien and Ben, and then we tried a lot of variations of it, and just, that's just it. If anything else happens, it'll be Damien featured on my shit, but I don't think we'll ever do anything with Clark and Murray again, because there's just no group, there's no feel for it, and I'm just outgrowing it. It just represents, like I said, it just represents me as, like, a teenager and shit, and I'm just not that anymore.
So, hopefully soon your stuff will be on, like, Tidal and Spotify. I was actually looking it up. It is on CD Baby, available right now. So it's Brandon, Braden Rex. It's on CD Baby. I haven't checked the other stuff yet, but is there any last words, anything you want to say, plugs, whatever? Or is there anything that we forgot to touch on, or, you know?
Rap for a Stack, bro.
Uh-huh.
Rap for a Stack. We're actually planning a 10-city tour. That's kind of going to be the next move, bro. Honestly, I'm releasing the tape now. But when I was talking about figuring out a different way to do things, that is the next way to do things for me. I'm focusing on the business. I'm going back to the business side of shit. And Rap for a Stack has been, a good way to do that. It's always brought, me closer to other artists, to promoters, to video. Photographers, anybody in the fucking culture, it's always been that outlet for me. So we just did this last, and it really popped off over at Vulcan. My partner, Avery Ajax, who founded it out of Michigan, he lives with me now. He is business partner / roommate, and we are in the works of organizing a 10-city tour. And we just packaged the whole proposal, and now we're looking for, you know, we got a couple of investors in line, and we're going to see who works out the best for us. And hopefully in late January, we kick it off in Austin, and then we go to Dallas, San Antonio, LA, Denver, Milwaukee, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Brooklyn, Cincinnati. I think we got one more city that we're trying to plug right now.
Atlanta, nigga. Atlanta.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is it. It is Atlanta. We're going to the festival. AJ3, yep, we're doing that next month. He actually got on a gig for that. So I'm going out there representing manager, and we're checking out a bunch of those panels and, you know, just networking. Like, it's really, bro, just trying to move around the cities. I mean, move around the states now. With the Rap for a Stack. The cool thing about that is I usually host it, and then what he'll do is, like, he'll rock a couple songs at the beginning to, like, check the microphone, and with that he gets exposed to the crowd. So we'll when we're on the road, we'll jump back and forth with that. So I'll perform, he'll host, and I'll host, he'll perform. So it'll almost turn into a Rap for a Stack tour / our own tour. And that's how I'm gonna help. So we got some shit in the works, man, with that. So yeah, any last plug would just be everybody keep your eyes open for this Rap for a Stack movement, and with that you'll catch Brandon, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty fucking dope. Well, I hope all this shit goes well for you. Once again, to tell the people where right now where we can find it and the proper spelling and all that.
Right now, you can find it, well, as of, let's say, 5 p.m. today, you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on SoundCloud. You can find it on CD Baby. And you can find it on... Shit, that's probably going to be it for right now. But eventually it's going to be on Tidal. It's going to be on Spotify. Hopefully by the end of this week, it's going to be on every platform. The name is Brandon Rex, BrandenRex. And the tape is called Black and White Hipster, BW Hipster, B&W Hipster, HIPSTER. And then I'm on everything Brandon Rex on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, every platform. Just spell it right.
Okay. Thank you for I guess what I'm kind of high. What's the word? Thank you for sharing the time with me. Thank you for sharing the time with me. And man, like I really hope this album does great. I mean, hope it gets you to where you need to be, at least mentally or spiritually or however, and I hope the people embrace it as they should, especially in Austin and in Milwaukee. But I really appreciate you, you know, taking time out. That's what I want to say. I really appreciate you taking time out today and letting me interview you about this album, the National Hipster Day, as I call it.
September 5th in the history, bro.
Yeah, see, what I was going to do is I was going to actually put this out next week, but once we hang up, I'm going to edit and get it together. I'm probably going to put it out like within an hour or two. So, your day, sir. All
right, Doug. Appreciate you. Let me put you on the spot. When you coming back to Austin?
ACL. First week.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Make sure you link up with me, because it seems like you'd be floating around too much from here. I don't see you.
I did, man. You know, last time, man, I was on drugs. that was all it was last time. But yeah, I'll definitely link up with you. Need to link up with you. You know, last time I actually we pulled up, and just to, you know, kind of clarify that Rap for a Stack is blowing up, because we actually, and I hate using like words that niggas use nowadays, but we pulled up to Rap for a Stack and we saw you on stage, and I tried to text you because I was trying to use my Hollywoodness that I knew you, because there was a fucking line outside. And I was like, yo, I know the nigga, but you were like so busy and shit, and we were just like, fuck it. You should just know when they started. But yo, congratulations. That shit was dope, man. It looked dope as shit.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's the formula, man. And like I said, we're just going to try to utilize that to put these young cats on, to let these people, you know, these up-and-coming artists get an opportunity, as well as plug ourselves, man. It's just a good platform for everybody. So I appreciate that. And, you know, don't be afraid. Next time, just let me know. I'll put you and Will on the list, bro. Ain't no thing.
Alright, cool.
Alright, bro.
Alright, bro. Man. Take it easy, man. I'll hide you soon.
Alright, take care.
Laziness, sheer laziness.
Catch me. Coming out the street, I'm pulling 40s out the window. Catch me. Bitches drive me crazy, cause they stay all with their friends. Catch me. Fuck your feelings. But I went to the store and it went, cause I was stealing. I make black music, I make white music.
driven by white music, I'm in the type of music. You listening to doing cocaine in 512. Tell a nigga get up out of snooze. Tell a nigga what I wouldn't do, who I wouldn't shoot. If I had to do it, it wouldn't be nothing to it. I would just pump and take a sip of my new juice, nigga.
Coming on the street, I'm pulling 40s out the window. Bitches drive me crazy, cause they stay all